This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Security will be extra tight at this year's New Year's celebrations around the country, with military helicopters patrolling over the Rose Parade, Times Square, and the Las Vegas Strip. As revelers prepare for New Year's Eve, the nation's terrorism alert is at its second highest level, although officials said there were no specific threats against the holiday gatherings and urged people to go ahead with their plans. In Las Vegas, where 300,000 revelers are expected on the Strip, officials announced that armed military helicopters will fly overhead. Jerry Bussell, Nevada Governor Kenny Gwynn's advisor on Homeland Security, said that military helicopters will also be used in New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, and other cities with big outdoor gatherings. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans, but First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks. Hundreds of relatives will be getting a free ride to visit soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan at military hospitals around the country. Operation Hero Miles is giving 680 free plane tickets to families and friends of wounded troops. Since November, the program has also been providing free plane tickets home for soldiers on leave from Iraq and Afghanistan using donated frequent flyer miles. The tickets will be distributed through the Fisher House Foundation, a nonprofit organization that opens its 32 homes across the country to military families. More after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
M&M's, the colorful button-shaped candies, are about to go off color for the first time in 60 years, but it remains to be seen whether the fans love or hate the change. The chocolate-filled, sugar-coated candies will be available in only black and white for the next few months, instead of the usual six colors as part of a promotional campaign. The company plans to bring back the colored candy to the market after the promotion runs its course in a few months. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The free in free markets is not an adjective, it's a verb. We must diligently work to free the market of conniving monopolists who try to lock it down and rule like autocrats. A century ago, robber barons like Rockefeller and Carnegie used their riches to put a chokehold on commerce, buying off governments and media while crushing competitors, workers, and entire communities. The monopolist is a brute. And that's why the populists and finally the Democrats and even trust-busting Republicans like Teddy Roosevelt responded to grassroots demands to free the market using such tools as anti-monopoly laws, labor reforms, and small business protections. But monopoly continues to rear its ugly head. Today, there's a new brute on the block, exerting more power over America's economy than the robber barons could dream of. It is Walmart. Behind the aw shucks, smiley-faced demeanor portrayed in its ads, this giant is now not merely the largest corporation in the world, but the dominating economic power in our country, able to use its brute financial clout to monopolize practically any market it bulls into. Its monopoly exists because, first, it has grabbed a chokehold on the retail supply chain, able to dictate its price to the thousands of manufacturers that put products in its stores, even compelling these companies to lower their wages or to move their manufacturing to China. Second, Walmart doesn't play fair in the local market. When it moves into your community, it can drop its prices and lose money for months without affecting its overall profits, for it has thousands of stores. Your local hardware, grocery, pharmacy, and others can't do that. So they are crushed, not by Walmart's work ethic or efficiency, but by its brute monopoly force. This is Jim Hightower saying, Walmart shrinks our economy, destroys middle-class wages, changes the face of our communities, and erodes America's values. It's time to free the market again.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Happy New Year's Eve, anyway. The new year begins, well, depending on where you are in the world, I suppose it's already begun. And we have some New Year's resolutions for George W. Bush here that are on the John Edwards for President website, some fascinating stuff. I want to send a special thank you to Stephanie Stryker, who has taken a holiday to run the board for this program today and keep us on the air live. And let's see. Oh, when do you celebrate New Year's in orbit? The U.S.-Russian crew of the International Space Station will mark the new year along with Britons and feast on a roast chicken. They're going to celebrate it by Greenwich Mean Time, which is London. The standard, that's what they use on the space station and GMT, and that is has been the world standard for a couple of centuries, I believe. And so they're actually opening presents today. The Russian secular tradition that the Soviet Union, the communists, used to substitute for Christmas because they banned religious celebrations. Stalin, I believe, was the first to do that. They're going to open tonight. So anyhow, when you celebrate New Year's resolutions for George W. Bush, take a cruise to Alaska. I might be busy, but I'd really like to see America's last great wilderness before it disappears. And since it's just a matter of time before my oil company cronies tear the place up, destroying wildlife and the natural beauty of the land, I'd better hurry. How much longer can it last? Okay, that's a good one. Here's another one. Invest in bottled water. With the amount of mercury I'm letting my industrial friends put into the environment, ain't nobody going to be able to drink out of the faucet. And we have a collection of them. I'll share some more with you as we go through the program through the day. The news of the week here: the Democrats divided over CIA leak probe. It's interesting to hear this is happening with the Democrats and the Democratic Party, but also that it's not much being reported on. I mean, this is an Associated Press story, but I didn't see it in any of the newspapers. It was we found it online. And it's like nobody is much covering this. This, of course, goes back to Valerie Plame, the wife of Joe Wilson, being outed by a senior administration official in the White House, and George W. Bush shrugging his shoulders and saying, hey, it's no big deal. It's just treason, you know. It's like, who cares?
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration. and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, and apparently U.S. Attorney Patrick J. Fitzgerald of Chicago may have an idea because John Ashcroft has just recused himself. Ashcroft, of course, was the candidate for the United States Senate against Mel Carnahan in the year 2000. Mel Carnahan died mysteriously in a small plane crash that was almost identical in circumstances to the one that killed Paul Wellstone in Minnesota. And leaving John Ashcroft running against him. John Ashcroft, of course, was the Republican. Mel Carnahan was the incumbent Democratic governor of his state. And the odds were very high that that Carnahan was going to win. I mean, all the polls were showing him winning. And then he died. And then 2 weeks later, more or less, the election happened. And the dead guy still beat John Ashcroft. So here's a guy who lost in a senatorial race against a dead guy. But he, of course, was appointed U.S. Attorney General by George W. And it turns out that this U.S. Attorney, Patrick J. Fitzgerald, let me back up a little bit. And when Ashcroft was running for office, not in the 2000 election cycle, but in the one before that, 1996, it would have been 94, the Senate is 6 years, his campaign advisor was Karl Rove. He had worked with Karl Rove on a number of campaigns. They're close friends, and he has employed Karl Rove in the past. And, of course, Joe Wilson is convinced that Karl Rove is the guy who outed his wife. So, finally, after 170 days, today is day 170 of the search for the White House traitor, Karl Rove has recused himself, and now we have U.S. Attorney Patrick J. Fitzgerald of Chicago, a prosecutor in Chicago, taking over. The problem is that rather than appointing somebody who was independent of the political process, you know, some complete outsider to investigate this, as the Clinton administration did in several situations, and, you know, there's a long history of it, instead, Ashcroft has appointed a guy who was appointed by George W. Bush. In other words, another Republican. Ashcroft has recused himself, and he said, okay, here's another Republican who was appointed by a Republican. And he's a political appointee. He doesn't have that job because of his stellar credentials. I mean, presumably his credentials are good. In fact, they look quite good on paper. But the reason he has the job is because he's a good party man. And there's a few Democrats who are scratching their head on this one. Joe Lieberman says, and I quote, "The public will not likely trust the results of an investigation headed by a political appointee, especially when the special counsel is constrained by Department of Justice regulations that severely curtail the prosecutor's autonomy." And Howard Dean said, "Justice Department lawyers still will be answering to a political appointee despite the change." Senator John Kerry said both Comey and Fitzgerald, Fitzgerald is the guy who's doing the investigation, Comey is his boss, are both Bush political appointees and carry the same baggage as John Ashcroft. Comey will retain ultimate authority over Fitzgerald as the acting attorney general for the case. Comey rejected choosing a complete outsider to be the special counsel. So why, one wonders, did they reject bringing in an independent party to investigate this White House and instead put in two guys who are both political appointees? That's the question that is being asked by many, by more than half of America. If that's the number of people who voted in the last 400, almost a half million more people voted for Al Gore than for George W. Anyway, another story. From Iraq to Homeland Security to public health, George Bush's reckless habit of placing ideology over facts has resulted in the most dangerous administration in my lifetime, says Howard Dean. Is he just blowing off his mouth, or is there something to this? Well, here's what Howard Dean has to say. It's interesting. Ever since Howard Dean said that he would break up the media monopolies about a week and a half ago, you have not heard one positive story about him in the media. And ever since he said that he was going to replace Terry McAuliffe, or implied that he would shake up the leadership of the Democratic National Committee, which has been in large part taken over by the same corporate interests who are calling the tune to the Republicans. Ever since he said that, you have not heard a single Democratic talking head on TV speak well of Howard Dean. I think he showed his cards a little too early, but, you know, that's life. Anyhow, here's what he has to say about the things that he's said, how they're being reported and what's going on. He says, if we are safer now that Saddam has been captured, if we are safer, how come we lost 10 more troops, this in the last week, and raised the safety alert to orange? He said that in Ankeny, Ohio. It's a good question. Do you know the answer? I mean, you know, George Bush says, okay, we got Saddam, we're safer. And then Tom Ridge says, no, we're not, we're going to orange alert. And, well, we got Saddam, our troops are going to be safer. No, they're not. We got more have been killed. Well, we expected a few at the beginning. You know, I'm sorry. I remember the Vietnam War, and I remember this kind of double talk. Here's Howard Dean again. All the other Democrats pounced on me and beat me up and said how ignorant I was about foreign affairs, he said. But I think most people in America agree with me today, and it's only 2 weeks later. Agree that we're not safer because Saddam was turned over to us by the Kurdish resistance forces who had captured him, apparently, several months earlier. Dean has broadened his critique of the Bush administration, adding mad cow disease, the national deficit, HIV/AIDS, and homeland security to the list of safety failures during Bush's tenure. This is really interesting. Dean is positioning these issues as safety and security issues. Because, you know, George W. is running on this platform of, I kept America safe and secure. And, of course, the facts somewhat belie that, which we're going to get into as the program goes on here. But here's Howard Dean. National security and economic security are the touchstones of the election. This he said in a rally Monday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I think the president has been fairly reckless in just about every area I can think of. He talked about George Bush taking enormous risks by refusing to negotiate with North Korea, permitting warlords to control much of Afghanistan, and failing to address the most serious threats to homeland security. This from a Washington Post story by C.C. Connolly. Dean labels Bush reckless. Dean accused, as president, Dean said he would initiate bilateral negotiations with North Korea, purchase the entire uranium stockpile held by the former Soviet Union, and shift more money into security programs such as cargo ship inspections. Why aren't these things being done now, he said. Why have we dilly-dallied for 15 months? Good question. Yesterday, Monday, he got the endorsement of Representative John Conyers of Michigan, the dean of the Congressional Black Caucus, one of the most intelligent and insightful men in the United States Congress. And he also got high praise from Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle. If elected, Howard Dean says he's going to raise the national minimum wage from $5.15 an hour to $7 per hour. I personally think it should go higher. And he says, rising deficits and a large national debt mean people cannot find jobs, and therefore they undermine U.S. authority overseas by forcing the government to look to nations such as China and Saudi Arabia for loans. And this is just so much the case. I mean, imagine if you were to go out and max out all of your credit cards, and then you were to refinance your house and take all of the equity out of it and take all of that cash and then take your car and cash that in and then take anything of value in your house and take that down to the pawn shop and turn that in and then take any credit that you may have that your children may have, you know, anybody who might be willing to loan money to you based on your kids' future earnings. And or student loans, and take all that money, and take all this cash, all the money that you can possibly borrow, and in 1 year just spend it all. You'd be living large. I mean, it would seem like good times are here, right? And people around would be going, look at that, his personal economy is really doing well. But, you know, we wouldn't do things like that because we understand the consequences of them. Apparently, George W. Bush doesn't understand the consequences because that's what he has done with this nation. He has mortgaged, as they're talking about, a $55 trillion structural deficit. That's 94% of all the personal assets held by all the people in the United States. It's mind-boggling. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The real free speech zone. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Plan here, something they ought to be telling the folks in the White House. We've got a fascinating list of White House claims and actual facts that we're going to get to in the program today. Before I get to that, though, it's the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, literally the end of the year. Today is the 31st of December. 835 days since we started looking for Osama bin Laden. 810 days since we started looking for the person who sent anthrax to Democrats in Washington, D.C. And 324 days since we started looking for weapons of mass destruction. Now, that's a real critical one because it's just amazing to me, the sleight of hand that this administration has been trying to pull about the whole reason and the whole issue of why we went to war. Consider, for example, this post-war discussion that George Bush had in a press conference. This was just a few months ago. Just catch a couple of these clips here. I think. Oh, got to push the button the right way. Sorry about that.
Subsequent to the peace speech, the CIA had some doubts.
Now, he's talking about his State of the Union speech. Subsequent to it, the CIA had some doubts.
But when I gave when they talked about the speech, when they looked at the speech, it was cleared. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put it in the speech.
As if he wrote his own speech.
I'm not interested in talking about intelligence unless it's cleared by the CIA. And as Director Tenet said, it was cleared by the CIA.
Now, we now since have found out that, in fact, the CIA had asked him to take it out, and he had taken it out of two previous speeches at their request.
The larger point is, and the fundamental question is, did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program?
And David Kaye now has said, absolutely not, no way. There is no weapons of mass destruction program, even in Iraq. In fact, let me just hear this. I thought was here we are. The White House claim: we are now learning the full truth about Saddam Hussein's regime. Clear evidence of Saddam's illegal weapons program. That's a verbatim quote from the White House. Here's the fact. This is a Reuters report, September 15th. The draft report on the search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq provides no solid evidence that Iraq had such arms when the United States invaded the country in March. Another fact, these are quotes from David Kaye himself, and I quote, "We have not uncovered evidence that Iraq undertook significant post-1998 steps to actually build nuclear weapons or produce fissile material. Iraq did not have a large, ongoing, centrally controlled chemical weapons program after 1991. Iraq's large-scale capability to develop, produce, and fill new chemical weapon munitions was reduced, if not entirely destroyed, during Operations Desert Storm and Desert Fox, 13 years of U.N. sanctions and U.N. inspections." End of quote. David Kaye saying, no, there's nothing there. You know, get over it. But George W. wasn't quite saying that.
And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in.
And he said, fine, send them back in. And we were the ones who pulled them out and decided to invade. Saddam wanted them to stay there.
And he wouldn't let them in.
No, that's a lie. Sorry.
And therefore, after a reasonable request.
And there was no reasonable request to send them back in. This is just absolutely made up stuff. I mean, this guy just makes up stuff on the fly.
We decided to remove him from power along with other nations so as to make sure he was not a threat to the United States.
Which he never was in the first place. At the worst, you can say Saddam was a threat to his own people, and at that, he's nowhere near as bad a threat to his own people as are the dictators of China, of Burma, of Zimbabwe, and so on. So, anyway, facts and fiction out of the White House. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is John Lucas from Operations here at IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
It's since almost 2004. Do you know where your energy comes from? I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Udall wants Americans to wake up and think about their energy future. Udall directs the nonprofit Community Office for Resource Efficiency in Aspen, Colorado. He says people in the United States are generally ignorant about energy.
Well, it's fascinating to me that Americans use more energy than anyone that's ever lived on the planet, and yet, by and large, the average guy in the street knows nothing about energy.
Udall says maybe it's been too easy for us. We flip a switch and the power comes on.
The American energy system is a miracle, one of those miracles that we take way too much for granted. On the other hand, about two-thirds of all the oil that will ever be produced in the United States has already been used. And our study suggests that half the natural gas, which is the fuel that keeps most of the Midwest warm in the winter, we think that half of the nation's natural gas has also been consumed. So it's time to get real about energy efficiency and renewable energy in the United States. And unfortunately, Congress seems to still be on a holiday from reality when it comes to energy issues.
Udall looks at Texas as a symbol of America's energy troubles. The state once had more oil than all but 10 countries in the world.
And Texas now needs to import $6 billion worth of oil each year to run Texas. In a rational country, this would be a blinking red light. But in the U.S., we just kind of blow past this without paying any attention and continue down the road.
Udall says we need to invest heavily in energy efficiency and renewable sources such as wind and solar. And he says people should find out where their energy comes from and what the future holds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware. John Seip from United Marketing Force. Jay Brentlinger from Orban. And, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show. Take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years. So join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Straight to the heart of truth. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Resolutions, New Year's resolutions for George W. Bush. Get a flu shot. This from the JohnEdwards2004.com website. Get a flu shot because in a year I'm going to be out in the private sector again, and with the way I've funded health care, I better not get sick. Come to think of it, I may not even be able to find a flu shot, says George W. Bush. Here's another one. Cut more taxes for the rich. Only 1 year to go before I'm back in private life. After all the favors I've done for my big oil cronies, I know I've got a big job waiting for me. With the payback I'll be making, I'll really need that tax cut. Yeah, interesting. Do you have ideas? Do you have suggested resolutions, New Year's resolutions for George W. Bush, or for yourself, or for the country, or whatever? If you'd like to drop in and share them with us, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, happy end of the year, our last call together this year.
Well, happy new year to you, and I hope that next year is a lot more peaceful for all of us in America. And I hope that we finally get some real representatives of the people, for the people, and by the people.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, God, it would be beautiful. Are you aware of a book that Pearl has out now in publication? It's called An End to Evil. They want to keep on trucking over in the Mideast.
You mean Richard Pearl?
Yep.
He's the author of it? No, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, they've got a new book, and it's sort of like, you know, a spinoff of the Project for New American Century, and it's called An End to Evil. And my wife was checking out British newspapers because, after all, that's where we, most Americans that are enlightened, get their news now, that America's, for the most part, propaganda in the mainstream. And it was in a British paper, and it was in the Telegraph, London.
Yep.
And they want to keep on cranking, you know, and, you know, stone stepping through the Mideast and, you know.
Well, the reality, Armand, I mean, you know, we have to deal with this. And as a nation, I mean, I think should be a real public debate. We have this situation where almost half of the oil that we use, we are importing. And the majority of that we're importing from the Middle East. We also get a lot from Venezuela, a lot from Mexico, and a lot from Nigeria. But, you know, we're getting a huge chunk of that from the Middle East. And if we want to maintain, you know, if George Herbert Walker Bush was right in saying the American lifestyle is not negotiable, and Dick Cheney is right in saying that alternative energy sources, solar, wind, and so on, will not meet the needs of America. And, of course, there's a lot of scientists who say he's absolutely wrong. But that's the position of this administration. If those two things are true, that we're going to continue driving SUVs and there's no alternative energy source for them, then we have this terrible situation where if we want to maintain our lifestyle, being 5% of the world's population and consuming over a quarter of the world's energy, we have to seize control of the world's energy supplies, and that's the Middle East. I mean, those guys are just very rational in laying that out.
Well, you know, philosophically,
what's the alternative?
Philosophically, you have to ask yourself first, before we get to the alternative, do you feel that what many people consider to be a well-oiled racket in Washington, you think that they're capable of bringing about real social justice and evolving our culture the way it needs to be evolved at a peaceful future?
Now you put your finger on the real problem, Armand, that's that what we have in Washington, D.C. are not statesmen. They're not people who are interested in the what's best for our nation. We've got a bunch of crony capitalists in there who are defining U.S. national policy on behalf of particular industries. I mean, the most glaring recent example, of course, is the Medicare bill, where, you know, the Pentagon negotiates with drug companies for low prices on pharmaceuticals because it bulk buys, but Medicare now is forbidden by law from doing the exact same thing the Pentagon does. In order to increase the profits of the pharmaceutical industry, who pumps so much money into the Republican hands, and you know it's just absolutely wrong. And in my opinion, the same thing happened in Iraq. I mean, back in '98, Project for New American Century, they're saying we need to secure the Middle East. We've got to, you know, for national security purposes, we have to nail down our oil supplies. And you know, yeah, okay, maybe if there wasn't, you know, rational alternatives, if there weren't rational alternatives, but the state of the art right now of alternative energy supplies is such that we could be roofing houses with solar panels. I mean, I think it's Sanyo. It's either Sanyo or Sharp. One of those two Japanese companies is now making roofing tiles, and they're using them all over Europe. And you wouldn't have to live in South Texas for this to work. I mean, as far up into the central Midwest, these would work just fine. Roofing tiles that are photovoltaic cells that have a lifespan of 20 to 50 years, and you can power a house off them. But, you know, no, these guys are like, no, it's got to be oil. And even though it pumps mercury into the air, and even though, you know, it's warming the planet and all this other stuff, because that's where they're making their money. And they're going to ride that as long and as hard as they can to amass as huge a fortune as they can. And in the process, they're devastating the planet, and they are harming the security of the United States.
I have to agree with you. And that's why many people conclude that I've talked to, that we simply have a well-oiled racket has taken over our government.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why... Is it Ellen Molinari? Is that her name? The woman who's trying to sue George Bush under the RICO statutes, corrupt influence and organized crime, saying that essentially the White House is being run as an organized crime operation?
Yeah, I seem to recall that that's the lady.
Yeah, they've got first pleadings in that are going to be heard in about 3 weeks. It'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Let me say something else about the future of energy. You know, I can't imagine why that some of our scientists in alternative energy sectors, what little bit we have, haven't figured out that you can efficiently take the sun, magnify it, and enhance it with solar panels, and you can take and move water, and you can efficiently move water really more efficiently than an internal combustion engine can create energy. And it doesn't leave a residue that's poisonous to our environment, and I think it's the future. And
yeah, Armin, there are so many technologies that they are developing now that are sophisticated and functional. You know, in Europe, it's just incredible. They've got buildings that are consuming 30% of the energy that our buildings are here, and just by design, you know, the issues, not even generating electricity, just the way that they're designed. You know, maximizing use of sunlight and insulation and things, along with clean air exchange systems and things like that, so that they're not, you know, sick buildings.
But, did you hear the joke that's going around on a lighter side?
What's that?
Supposedly Howard Dean, if he gets elected, and we know they're going to be hard to remove this cancer in Washington.
Well, not only
know,
that, the big problem that Howard Dean has now is that the press isn't with him, and it's awful hard to win if the press doesn't like you. And now that he's said he's going to break up the big media monopolies, they have turned on him.
Yeah,
so
isn't that
fast.
Special?
I mean, it's just like it was like lightning. It was like just breathtaking. The next day, suddenly,
well,
you know.
Let me give you the rest of the joke that's going around.
Okay.
On the lighter side, if they don't do the right thing, it's my understanding that he's going to change the name of the Baker Act to the Dean Act and Dean Act tackle Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Armin, thank you for the call, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks. And always great to hear from you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It is 18 minutes before the hour. New Year's resolutions for George W. Bush. We'll get to a few more as time goes on. Let's look at some of the claims that the White House has made in the past year and some of the realities that may belie those. The White House said, and I quote, speaking of the Medicare legislation, "The historic legislation the president signed will create a modern Medicare system providing seniors with prescription drug benefits," quote, end quote. Sort of. Here are the facts. The new law gives, this from American Progress fellow Jeannie Lambrew on December 4th, the new law gives private insurers the authority to ration access to drugs funded by Medicare. Beneficiaries will have to choose a drug insurer without knowing exactly what drugs that insurer will cover, and premiums will be higher in areas with older and sicker seniors. You get this? We're going to have to choose an insurer without even knowing what they're going to cover, and they can change what they cover from week to week. Fact number two. The Congressional Budget Office projects that 2.7 million retirees are expected to lose the drug coverage they currently receive through their employers, because those employers will drop such coverage when the Medicare drug benefit becomes available. So they will lose better coverage that they have right now. 2.7 million retirees. Fact, the insurance plan would provide little relief for about 3 million people with moderate assets and incomes near the poverty level, and would cost seniors with drug expenses under $835 a year more than they currently spend. That from the Boston Globe on November 18th. This from a report by the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. Fact, a substantial number of the 6.4 million low-income Medicare beneficiaries who are also eligible for Medicaid and currently receive prescription drug coverage through Medicaid would be made worse off under the Medicare Conference Agreement, this which ultimately became law. And USA Today reported on the 25th of November, the Congressional Budget Office estimates about 2.7 million seniors could lose benefits that may be more generous than those that will be offered under Medicare. So, White House claims and the facts. I've got a great here, drug costs. The White House said, and I quote, "Beneficiaries who lack coverage will cut their yearly drug costs roughly in half in exchange for an approximately $35 monthly premium. The more than one-third of seniors with low incomes will be eligible for even greater drug savings, paying as little as $1 per prescription." Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? They sound very straightforward. Here's the fact, however. Under the new plan, seniors in the middle income quintile will pay an average of $1,650 a year in out-of-pocket. Not that $1 that George W. mentioned in his speech, but $1,650 in out-of-pocket expenses for prescription drugs in 2006. This figure is nearly 60% more than they paid in 2000, before this bill was signed into law, even after adjusting for inflation. Expenses are projected to continue to rise so that by 2013, middle-income seniors will be paying more than 2.5 times as much for prescription drugs, adjusted for inflation, as they did in 2000. It's pretty remarkable. By the way, another interesting news story. This is it's fascinating what makes the foreign press and doesn't make the American press. Armin referenced that. You know, he reads British papers online. This was the front page story of La Figaro, one of the two big, you know, La Figaro and Le Monde are the two major newspapers in France, sort of like the New York Times and the Washington Post of France. And Le Figaro had a front page story last week asking whether Dick Cheney would be indicted by Judge Renaud von Rembeck. Pardon my French. There's this crusading judge in France who has prosecuted, you know, he's independent of the political process, as judges are supposed to be in the United States. And he has prosecuted people from all different parties. He's this anti-corruption zealot. And it looks as though, according to the French press accounts, that Halliburton put $180 million into a slush fund that was run through a Gibraltar-based front company called TriStar. The bagman for the operation was a 55-year-old London lawyer by the name of Jeffrey Tesler. And he then took that money and set up a consortium with Halliburton to basically feed that money back. A slush fund controlled by Halliburton through its subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root. This is the company, by the way, that first of all was reincorporated in the Caymans so they don't have to pay U.S. taxes, and secondly is rebuilding Iraq with your tax dollars and mine, and not paying taxes on the profits from it. And this was all put in place when Dick Cheney was president of Halliburton. He was the one who set up the majority of the tax shelters and offshore operations for tax purposes. So you have this Gibraltar front company funneling money to the Nigerian, you know, the corrupt Nigerian officials. And this judge says this is a crime. And he's planning the big debate. Van Rembeck is notoriously independent, says an article in The Nation, and his previous investigations have been aimed at politicians and parties of both right and left. The suspected bribe was mostly ladled out between 1995 and 2000 when Cheney was Halliburton's CEO. And the Journal du Dimanche reported on December 21st, quote, "It is probable that some of the retro commissions," these were the bribes, "found their way back to the United States and asked, did this money go to Halliburton officials, to officials of the Republican Party?" End quote. None of these questions, the article in The Nation points out, have been raised in the American press, oddly. You know, that the Vice President of the United States might be indicted for bribery and corruption by a foreign power. I would think that that would be news. And apparently the French think so, seeing as how it made the front page of Le Figaro. But the American corporate media seems quite happy with Mr. Cheney. Yes, we love corporations, Cheney. Health savings accounts, facts and fiction. We're getting up against our break here. There's a lot of articles. You're going to see a lot of articles out by cons suggesting that things are better than they've ever been environmentally. Paul Ehrlich was wrong with his population bomb. Actually, Paul Ehrlich was right in all of the predictions that he made in the population bomb. And as a result of that, over 1 billion people today, more people than lived on the planet in 1800, are hungry. And over 3 billion don't have access to clean water or sanitation. So, you know, we've got some problems here. We'll get into this when we get back from this break. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Jing, jing, jing.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And we're looking over the last year, reviewing the year in retrospect here on day 835 of the search for Osama bin Laden. And, of course, George Bush saying...
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
No evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September 11th. No. But we do know that Saddam Hussein, as I believe it was Richard Pearl said, no, it was Paul Wolfowitz, is sitting atop a sea of oil. And now that oil is being tapped into by Halliburton, by coincidence. What a surprise. White House health savings accounts, the White House claim on health savings accounts, this historic Medicare legislation that the president signed included a provision establishing health savings accounts which will allow more Americans to save for health care needs and allow more small businesses to help workers secure health coverage, end quote. Here's the fact. The creation of health, and this is from Scripps Howard News Service, December 3rd, the creation of health care savings accounts provides an incentive to shift more cost to workers who may be asked to match their employer's contribution to an HSA with its high deductibles and high copayments. Urban Institute economist Len Berman says HSAs will become a boon to the healthy and wealthy and a bane to older, sicker coworkers left to confront higher costs and premiums in traditional health plans. And another fact, you know, in the same area, according to major studies conducted in the past by the RAND Corporation, the Urban Institute, and the American Academy of Actuaries, premiums for comprehensive employer-based coverage could more than double if such accounts became widespread. So much for health savings accounts. We've got the economy, we've got deficits, healthy force. Healthy force is a good one. As part of the White House says, and I quote, as part of the president's Healthy Forest Initiative, he signed bipartisan legislation to improve forest health and reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfires. The fact, the Congressional Research Service reported that the Healthy Forest Bill may actually increase the risk of fire. This is the Congressional Research Service. In fact, the bill was sought by the timber industry, not because they wanted to remove brush and chaparral, which can cause forest fires, but because it would increase commercial logging with less environmental oversight. End of quote from CBS News. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side of the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A spacecraft is on track to fly through the tail of a comet on Friday, collecting hundreds of specks of the primitive material from which the sun, the planets, and all living creatures are made, NASA said. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration Stardust spacecraft is expected to pass within 186 miles of the comet Vild 2 as it catches the shimmering gas and dust cloud that envelops the dirty ball of ice and rock. The unmanned probe should make its closest approach at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, when the comet and probe will be 242 million miles from Earth, mission members said Tuesday at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Hoping to stop State Representative Gary Haluska from winning a sixth term, local Republicans in Pennsylvania have taken the unusual step of placing a classified ad in a newspaper seeking state House hopefuls. Republicans have about a month to gather the 300 signatures on nominating petitions, spurring County GOP Robert A. Gleason to cast a wide net for candidates. Enticements include $62,000 a year, a leased car, mileage paid, and a pension. Voting members of the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences won't have to sit through as many films as they did last year. For 2003, 254 films are eligible for consideration in the Oscar race's major categories, including Best Picture. That's 25 fewer films than were eligible last year, when 279 releases qualified for Oscar consideration. Nominations for the 76th Annual Academy Awards will be announced January 27th, and the Oscar ceremonies will be held February 29th at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. The official U.S. population will rise to over 292 million on the first day of the new year, an increase of nearly 3 million in a year, according to the Census Bureau, which says the country now adds a person every 12 seconds. More news after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
A New York man who says he sells books and magazines on the street was rescued after being trapped for 2 days under a mountain of reading material in his apartment. Patrice Moore had apparently been standing up when the books, catalogs, mail, and newspapers swamped him on Saturday. Firefighters and neighbors rescued him on Monday afternoon, and he was hospitalized in stable condition Tuesday morning with leg injuries. Moore, a former mailroom clerk now receiving public assistance, said he collected books and magazines for more than 10 years and earned money by selling them on the street. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The free in free markets is not an adjective, it's a verb. We must diligently work to free the market of conniving monopolists who try to lock it down and rule like autocrats. A century ago, robber barons like Rockefeller and Carnegie used their riches to put a chokehold on commerce, buying off governments and media while crushing competitors, workers, and entire communities. The monopolist is a brute, and that's why the populists and finally the Democrats and even trust-busting Republicans like Teddy Roosevelt responded to grassroots demands to free the market using such tools as anti-monopoly laws, labor reforms, and small business protections. But monopoly continues to rear its ugly head. Today, there's a new brute on the block, exerting more power over America's economy than the robber barons could dream of. It is Walmart. Behind the aw shucks, smiley-faced demeanor portrayed in its ads, this giant is now not merely the largest corporation in the world, but the dominating economic power in our country, able to use its brute financial clout to monopolize practically any market it bulls into. Its monopoly exists because, first, it has grabbed a chokehold on the retail supply chain, able to dictate its price to the thousands of manufacturers that put products in its stores, even compelling these companies to lower their wages or to move their manufacturing to China. Second, Walmart doesn't play fair in the local market. When it moves into your community, it can drop its prices and lose money for months without affecting its overall profits, for it has thousands of stores. Your local hardware, grocery, pharmacy, and others can't do that. So they are crushed, not by Walmart's work ethic or efficiency, but by its brute monopoly force. This is Jim Hightower saying, Walmart shrinks our economy, destroys middle-class wages, changes the face of our communities, and erodes America's values. It's time to free the market again.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
yeah.
Stop.
A few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Special greetings, by the way, to the folks in our chat room today who showed up. Narlodius and Kodak and New Jersey Demigal and Pace Cop and Radical Radine and Seston and Tahoe Kevin and Timber Monkey and Whistle Assist 666 and guest number 14, who I think is Smile Maker, I'm not sure. And if you want to drop into our chat room and meet these folks and participate in the conversation that happens every day, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week on this program, just go to TomHartman.com and click the chat link. It'll drop you into a forum on CompuServe. You click the chat button at the top of the page, and you will be in. And very simple, straightforward, nothing to pay for. You do have to have an AOL or CompuServe username and ID, you know, and password, but there is no charge for that. You don't have to, like, join their service or anything. It's just very simple, and you have to take a cookie from CompuServe, which is, you know, easy enough. So that's how that works, and that's what's going on there. This is Tom Hartman. We're broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE American Radio Network. Exposing the con in conservative. I'm going through the list here of the year, of all of the things that this administration has said and all the ways that they were a little less than accurate, let's say, to be charitable. And it's quite a list, quite a substantial list. But I think it's appropriate at the end of the year to look back and ask, you know, what have we done? How has our country done? How has this administration done? How, you know, What is the state of the union, as they say? And what is the state of truth in public discourse? If you have thoughts, comments, questions on this or any other topic here, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And on that note, Pete in Florida is on the line. Hey, Pete, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, glad to be with you here. I got to say one thing, though. It's been tough on the Republicans. Thank God that the so-called liberal media gives them a free ride on everything.
From the weapons
of mass destruction that don't exist. So we started a preemptive war, which is basically a war crime. But hell, you know, that liberal media we have, they just overlook that.
Yep.
You know, you got Bill Bennett, $8 million on the slot machines. You got Rush Limbaugh on hillbilly heroin. But the main reason why
stories got covered, you know, Pete, those stories actually did get covered. I mean,
nothing compared to Rush Limbaugh right now. There should be a press crew down there every single day like there was for O.J. They should be interviewing. Did you notice one thing with Rush Limbaugh when this thing broke?
Speaking as a talk show host, I'm not sure I agree.
Wait, no. Did you notice one thing with Rush? All the networks had on were these doctors to say that, you know, he needs therapy, he needs help, he needs, you know, rehab. Whenever it's somebody from Hollywood, they need to go to jail. They get the drugs are on. Tougher laws. Send a message.
Oh, I know. I wrote an op-ed piece about that for commondreams.org. You can find it if you go to TomHartmann.com and click on the articles on democracy. It was something like, now maybe Rush will teach the conservatives a lesson. That lesson being that drug addiction should more appropriately be dealt with by medical authorities than legal authorities, as they do in most European countries.
But, Tom, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I keep on hearing John Kerry and Joe Lieberman whining that how is Howard Dean going to take the South? I got a question for Kerry and Lieberman. How are you going to get anybody in the North to vote for you? You guys are free traders. You love NASA. You love the fact that we're losing high-tech jobs.
Well, see, this is Pete. You've just touched the core. You know, this is the spinal column. You know, talk about touching a nerve. I mean, this is the big one that runs through the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC, this organization that was started around 91 or 92, and that some say Clinton kind of started, and others say it was responsible for Clinton. But whatever it was, basically, prior to that time, the Democratic Party had been largely aligned with the interests of the average working person. And the Republicans had traditionally, I mean, all the way back to the 1872 was the big split in the Republican Party. The Republicans had been aligned with big business. And everybody understood that. Everybody was upfront about it. It's a century and a half. And this group within the Democrats said, hey, we need to get some of that cash the big businesses got, because they're getting wealthier and wealthier, and the labor unions are not getting stronger and stronger since Ronald Reagan declared war on organized labor in the 1980s. And so if we're going to have an interest group, it looks like the corporations are the only thing left in town. And so a bunch of these Democrats created this Democratic Leadership Council, and they decided to get in bed with the corporations. And Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act, and he signed NAFTA, and he didn't just sign NAFTA and get. He worked his butt off to get those things passed.
He was buying votes.
Oh, yeah, and it was passed the lame duck Congress on the evening of the Christmas recess. I mean, it was...
Mosley Brown was one of the senators that voted for it.
Yeah, well, I didn't know
nobody
that.
Nobody wants
you know,
to bring that up either. You know, she's such a nice, sweet lady.
Well, she says a lot of good things and makes a lot of sense. I didn't realize that she voted for NAFTA and GATT. I honestly think that the PR on that thing, Pete, was so good that a lot of people didn't realize what a Trojan horse it was.
I disagree with you, because they were having polls, and it was 70% of the Americans against it.
Yeah, it was down to actually...
The problem that they had is corporate America wanted it. General Electric is like one of Bush's number one campaign contributors. They're in the top five. Do you think that Tim Russert on NBC or Chris Matthews is going to do anything to shake up their... If they're giving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Bush campaign... On one hand, do you think their news network is going to get critical on him? On the other hand,
And this is also why I think that they're not going to get critical about, you know, on Howard Dean, because Howard Dean is and Dennis Kucinich, why they're not going to give them good coverage, because these two guys are speaking out about these trade issues, and they're saying we need to, in the United States, re-empower our labor unions. We need to go back to the, you know, I mean, first it was the southern states who tried to break unions, and we had, you know, there was an increase in growth in the South, but there was also an increase in poverty. And now it's, you know, now we're in this international stew, and it's just wiping out the middle class of America.
Well,
and there's only a couple of Democrats willing to talk about it, as far as I know. Maybe Al Sharpton. I haven't heard him really speak well to it. But Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean, and look at them. They're now getting trashed in the media.
Well, better yet, what the networks will do is they'll bring in a third party to trash them, and they'll throw softball questions. But, you know, this NAFTA trade thing, this is so far out of control. I think you missed an important thing here. We're talking unions. We're talking anybody who gets a college education this year is screwed.
This is the big thing. It's not just blue collar labor anymore. They're saying a programming by 2006 in the United States will be extinct.
Oh, no doubt about it. But will accounting. You won't find an accountant. You won't find an engineer. What are you going to send kids to college for? Be prison guards?
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, God, what are you going to do? Unless you work for a city, state, or the federal government, or in the medical, your job is in jeopardy.
Well, and even there, I mean, Bush is trying to outsource 800,000 federal employee jobs to private corporations so that they can go from paying a good salary and with a pension and with benefits and a union to, you know, basically Walmart status.
Yeah, and there is no more pension program anywhere. The 401Ks drain that. Now nobody can work for a company basically over 4 years and you'll be fired or let go or downsized. So the pension... So since the Clinton years, we've seen the death of pensions, the death of health care. I mean, finding somebody with health care in Florida is like finding somebody who works at a company who gets 5 weeks vacation. You just don't find that anymore.
Yeah, so what's the solution, Pete, in your mind?
Well, the first solution is people got, I mean, the main thing is going after the media. Until you go after the media, you're not going to get a voice. You got to go after the media. The Tim Russerts. The biggest clown and most dangerous was Ted Koppel. I mean, Ted Koppel thinks the economy is great because, you know, nepotism got his daughter, you know, a job at CNN. He's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Now you find out that George Will was on the take from Conrad Black writing puff pieces. Nobody gets fired for this.
Wait a second. Who's Conrad Black? Who's Conrad Black, Pete?
I thought Conrad Black was the big guy in the media who... What was it? He was like the next guy to Rupert Murdoch buying media outlets all over.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to look into that. I didn't know.
Now, the real kicker, though, and the most dangerous one, is look at Robert Novak. Now look at Peter Arnett. During a war, Peter Arnett starts interviewing the leader of another country that we're at war with. Probably not a good idea in this jingoistic media series for NBC, so he gets fired. Robert Novak, on the other hand, openly outs a CIA spy. Does he get fired from CNN?
He becomes a star.
No.
He's the star. Yeah,
he's
I know. It's mind-boggling. It's really mind-boggling. And then they have the audacity to say the media is liberal. It's playing the refs so hard.
You know, look at Crossfire. You got two DLC boys there right there. Carvel's a DLC boy.
Sure, and so is Begala, and they've both been attacking Howard Dean over the last week or so, and they keep having on these Democratic operatives who want to attack Dean also. You know, it's because
the DLC's where the money is. That's why they got the general. They actually thought that Lieberman would be the guy.
Yeah, and then he wasn't, and so they had to roll out Wesley Kirk. I agree with you, Pete, and I want to wish you a very happy New Year.
Take care.
I hope you have a great one. Thanks for calling. Spot on. We could get each other worked up here. Let's get back to some of our truths and fictions. The economy, the White House claimed, quote, President Bush's economic leadership is producing positive results, end quote. Well, here are a few facts. More than 2.2 million jobs have been lost since George Bush took office. He is still on pace to be the first president since Herbert Hoover. And I wonder if he would be the second president in the history of the country. I suspect that they really haven't kept statistics going all the way back to the founding of America. But even the Great Panic of 1846, or 1857, excuse me, was small compared to the Great Depression. Anyhow, George W. Bush will be the second president, perhaps in the history of the United States, certainly in the history of the 20th and 21st century, to leave office with a net job loss over his four-year term. In July 2003, the Council of Economic Advisers predicted that the president's latest round of tax cuts would produce 1,530,000 jobs. In fact, only 271,000 jobs were created during that time, a shortfall of 1,259,000 jobs, for which we paid trillions and trillions of dollars to the wealthiest among us, as the jingoists, the cons were saying, I never heard of somebody being employed by a poor man. Well, the fact of the matter is, I've heard about it many times. Entrepreneurs, small business people start businesses all the time, and they are not necessarily rich. In fact, in most cases, they are not. And entrepreneurs and small business are what have built America. Giving money to billionaires is not the way to build a strong and vital and healthy economy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Heaven knew I could.
major American cities saw a 19% increase in the need for emergency food last year alone. 25 major cities saw a 19% increase in the need for emergency food last year alone. The Bush economic policy of borrowing money from our children and giving it to America's most wealthy and slashing taxes on corporations has led to an absolute devastation of the working class of America. New jobs created during the 2004-2005 period are forecast to pay an average of $35,800, far lower than the $43,600 average pay of those jobs lost between 2001 and 2003. This is from the U.S. Conference of Mayors. The Business Council poll found only 14% of CEOs planning to increase the pace of hiring. This is from just 2 months ago. And poverty levels have risen for the second straight year in a row, the first time in more than 13 years, according to the Economic Policy Institute. So things, and the White House claim, President Bush's economic leadership is producing positive results. Well, you know, the stock market is going back up. It's not yet to the point where it was under the Clinton administration. And if it were to go there, do you think that they would call it a bubble this time? I find that really interesting. Oh, it was, you know, the market crashed when George W. came into office. They're trying to revise history and say it actually started to crash when Bill Clinton was president. But it's quite clear that the first quarter, the first month that the market actually started falling and that the economy actually started falling was March. And George W. was sworn in in January, immediately started talking about tax cuts for the rich, and everybody figured out what was going to happen. It is what always happens when Republican administrations come into office. The market goes down. Just go back through history, all the way back to the late 1800s. Republicans come into office, the stock market goes down. Democrats come into office, the stock market goes up. It's like absolute clockwork. It works every single time. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Sharon in Virginia is on the line. Hey, Sharon, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. I would like to say that the reason why the economy is going up is because they're exporting jobs and they're making a profit because they are exporting the jobs, so therefore they don't have to pay us. So that's that's why the jobs aren't being created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's the increase in productivity. There's all this talk about how the American worker is becoming more productive, and productivity is measured by the amount of stuff that gets done divided by the cost of labor. And when they ship jobs overseas, they don't call those expenses labor costs anymore, generally. They're usually considered administrative costs because it's subcontracted out to another company. Or if they do call them labor costs, the labor costs have gone down, so productivity has gone up. The so-called increase in productivity we're seeing is simply the result of offshore outsourcing of labor.
Yeah, exactly. So the numbers are fudged.
Yeah, well, they're fudged.
What we're getting on the media is the numbers are fudged.
Yeah, or it's just that we're not getting enough of the right information to really understand them. We're not being told what's really going on.
Okay. And, I just wanted to say that I also enjoy your show. I also have two children that are ADD as well, so I enjoy your writings as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
And we're going to keep on listening to you here in Hampton, Virginia. And, of course, I'm a Bush victim as well and out here looking for work.
Oh. Finish up, Sharon. You got a couple seconds.
Okay.
Here.
Just want to say thank you, and we'll keep on listening to you.
Okay, great. And Happy New Year to you, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, This is Bill Vellner, chief engineer for the IE America Radio Network, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It's almost 2004. Do you know where your energy comes from? I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Udall wants Americans to wake up and think about their energy future. Udall directs the nonprofit Community Office for Resource Efficiency in Aspen, Colorado. He says people in the United States are generally ignorant about energy.
Well, it's fascinating to me that Americans use more energy than anyone that's ever lived on the planet, and yet, by and large, the average guy in the street knows nothing about energy.
Udall says maybe it's been too easy for us. We flip a switch and the power comes on.
The American energy system is a miracle, one of those miracles that we take way too much for granted. On the other hand, about two-thirds of all the oil that will ever be produced in the United States has already been used. And our study suggests that half the natural gas, which is the fuel that keeps most of the Midwest warm in the winter, we think that half of the nation's natural gas has also been consumed. So it's time to get real about energy efficiency and renewable energy in the United States. And unfortunately, Congress seems to still be on a holiday from reality when it comes to energy issues.
Udall looks at Texas as a symbol of America's energy troubles. The state once had more oil than all but 10 countries in the world.
And Texas now needs to import $6 billion worth of oil each year to run Texas. In a rational country, this would be a blinking red light. But in the U.S., we just kind of blow past this without paying any attention and continue down the road.
Udall says we need to invest heavily in energy efficiency and renewable sources such as wind and solar. And he says people should find out where their energy comes from and what the future holds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
I'm El Bracciacci, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. Resolutions for George W. Bush. These from the JohnEdwards2004.com website. Only 1 year to go before going back to Texas. We better get a few bids on the moving van. And then note to self, don't call Halliburton. They never bid on anything. George W. Bush. If you'd like to be on the program, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and Tom in Virginia is on the line. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Oh, he dropped off. Okay. Well, sorry about that. Anyhow, back to the deficits here. The White House claim, maintaining fiscal discipline. The president has continued to restrain spending, says the White House. The fact? The White House recently passed a massive $373 billion spending bill laden with pork barrel spending and controversial provisions. I'm quoting, by the way, from the Wall Street Journal and the AP. Controversial provisions as far as the eye could see. The size of the measures invites abuse. The AP, quote, the size of the measures invites abuse. Spending set-asides for home state projects have grown to extraordinary levels, filling scores of pages in the congressional record, end quote. President Bush issued a personal appeal to Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist to, as the Wall Street Journal documented on December 5th, to, quote, push the spending package through the Senate, end quote, without changes after the House passed this pork-laden bill. And another fact, for the 2003 budget year, which ended September 30, the government recorded a deficit of $374.8 billion, according to revised figures. In November alone, the deficit swelled to nearly $43 billion. In 1 month, $43 billion that we had to borrow from Japan and China and Saudi Arabia and other countries that are showing surpluses, and borrow in the name of our children. Someday we'll have to pay that money back so that we could live large now, so that we can have a good economy for November of 2004. Yes, indeed. Most observers, this from the American Progress senior economist Christian Weller, most observers familiar with the budget outlook, including the White House's Office of Management and Budget, agree that deficits will become even larger after 2013. This as a result of what the White House has been doing right now. The White House claimed, this with regard to tax cuts, this is still on economics, they claimed 91 million taxpayers received, on average, a tax cut of $1,126. Since the president took office, 109 million taxpayers have received, on average, a tax cut of $1,544. Without the fiscal measures implemented under President Bush, there would be as many as 2 million fewer jobs for American workers today. This is what they say. Now, these average tax cuts of $1,544, it's like you and me are sitting in a bar and Bill Gates walks in. Suddenly, the average income of each of the three of us went to about $5, $10, $15 billion each. Right? I mean, all it takes is a few billionaires to really screw up an average. The fact is that 80% of taxpayers would receive less than $1,083, and half of all American taxpayers would receive less than $100. The handful of millionaires have artificially inflated the average. The economic consulting firm Economy.com found that the tax cuts were responsible for only 13% of the growth last quarter, meaning that instead of our actual growth being is 8 point whatever it was, it should have been would have been around 7% without the tax cut, meaning that the business cycle is starting to recover and that the tax cut had very little to do with it, or that the war in Iraq has hyped the economy, which is something I've been suggesting for some time. 1-800-TALK, yes, Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Changing the subject a bit of it, but still about the truth of this last year, is the number of people killed in Iraq and so forth. You know, one of the things often they talk about the 400 and so people, but of course we've got to take into account all the other wounded and so forth. Yeah, so it's more closer to 10,000 now of wounded or evacuated for medical reasons. But one thing I was wondering, aren't we taking into account those 10,000 private soldiers being paid? Right. Are their wounds being reported?
You know, I don't believe so. I'm quite certain that the and I think that there's probably more than that if you include all the subcontractors and not just the mercenaries. I'm quite sure that the numbers that we're getting are only the Pentagon numbers.
So since we are paying for about 10% of the forces we're paying for are private forces. Yeah, right. What's happening with those?
Very good question. I don't have any information on that. It's like the media has just not covered the fact that there is a mercenary army in Iraq and also in Afghanistan. These private contractors. You only hear about them when, for example, the bunch that was in Saudi Arabia that were training the Saudi army. And whatnot, that when the Koch Bar towers were blown up, that some of those folks died, and that kind of opened the door for many Americans to the fact that we have a very significant presence there of paid militia as opposed to national militia.
Yeah, and I'd like the truth to know how many of those people are being killed and wounded.
Yeah, well, let's both look at it. Let's keep our eyes open here, Jeff, and find out, give me a call, and if I find out, I'll mention it on the air.
Thanks,
Happy
Tom.
New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a really great one.
Thank you. I hope so. May it, from your lips to God's ears, may it be a wonderful year for all of us. And may it be the year that democracy begins to come back to America. Thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. 80%, we mentioned that. The White House claimed 23 million small business owners received tax cuts averaging $2,209. Well, that sounds pretty good. 23 million small business owners get an average $2,209. Well, again, there's that magic word, average. The 52%, more than half of people with small business returns would actually receive $500 or less, according to the Urban Institute Brookings tax policy. So let's shift to healthy forests. The White House has said, I already covered that one. Let's go to power plant emissions. The Bush administration proposed stringent new rules on power plant emissions. Stringent? New rules? I mean, the Clinton administration had put in these rules, and the Bush administration specifically rolled them back. Here are some of the facts. This is from CBS News on 11/22. The Bush administration on Friday eased clean air rules to allow utilities, refineries, and manufacturers to avoid having to install expensive new anti-pollution equipment when they modernize their plants. And according to the Associated Press, more than a dozen state attorneys general yesterday sought to, this from November 18th, yesterday sought to block the federal government from implementing a rule change they argued would lead to more air pollution from the nation's power plants. 14 states and a number of cities, including New York, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., are seeking a court injunction to impede a measure by the Environmental Protection Agency before it goes into effect. And CBS News commented, the chief of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency's Civil Enforcement Office, has resigned, complaining the White House is undermining anti-pollution efforts at power plants that violate clean air laws. Eric Schaefer, a lawyer at the EPA for a dozen years, dating from the first Bush administration, said in a letter to EPA Administrator Christine Whitman that the White House, quote, seems determined to weaken the rules that we are trying to enforce, end quote. Mercury emissions, the Bush administration, the White House said, and I quote, the Bush administration proposed stringent new rules which will result in dramatic reductions of sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, and mercury. Well, that's their claim. What are the facts? Fact, two separate reports issued by the GAO and the Rockefeller Family Fund project and the Council of State Governments stated that the administration's relaxation of pollution rules for power plants would lead to reduced fines and pollution controls, as well as 1.4 million tons more air pollution. CBS News, November 6th, 03. And the former EPA administrator, Carol Browner, this is the a person who used to run the EPA, said, and I quote, the administration is proposing to use a provision of the Clean Air Act never before used to regulate toxics and set a level of reductions for mercury emissions far below what the Clean Air Act toxic provisions would require. By below, she means there's more mercury in the air. Using the traditional provisions of the Clean Air Act would achieve at least a 90% reduction in mercury emissions from coal-fired power plants by 2008. But this administration's proposals suggest only a 30% reduction to the benefit of coal-fired power plants and utilities. So Clinton's rules would have reduced mercury by 90% in our air. But Bush says, well, we'll take that down to only 30% reduction. And then has the audacity to send, I remember getting one of these. I'm on the mailing list for the RNC. George Bush is reducing mercury by 30%. Isn't that wonderful? And everybody who doesn't realize, the sleight of hand that was just pulled goes, yeah, hey, that's pretty cool. Education. Oh, this one makes me crazy. Parents, teachers, and principals are seeing, this is what the White House said, are seeing a positive difference in America's schools. The No Child Left Behind Act is raising standards for students and putting the focus on student achievement. Well, that's the claim. What's the fact? The fact is, This from Stateline. The sweeping federal law left cash-strapped states battered and confused in 2003. More nationwide provisions will take effect in 2004, along with the threat of losing millions of dollars for states that don't pass muster. This No Child Left Behind Act is just absolutely one of the most destructive and devastating things for education in America. Another claim, the Bush administration is investing more money in elementary and secondary education than at any time in American history. Well, the fact, President Bush proposed a budget that was $9.7 billion below the amount needed to fund his own No Child Left Behind bill. The budget eliminates 45 education programs and slashes another 18 programs by $1.4 billion. Specifically, he proposes to cut 400, this is from the House Appropriations Committee. I mean, this is, you know, specifically, he proposes to cut $400 million, or 40%, out of after-school programs, resulting in 485,000 children being thrown off these programs. He proposes to freeze teacher training grants, meaning a loss of opportunity for 30,000 teachers. And during a recession, he has proposed a $307 million cut for vocational and technical education grants and a freeze on Pell Grants. The education president, tough times in education. Consumer protection. The White House made the claim that they are enhancing consumer credit protections. You know, consumer credit, credit card credit, mortgage interest, mortgage credit, things like that. The White House said that the president proposed and signed into law legislation to ensure citizens are treated fairly when they apply for credit. It also addresses the growing problem of identity theft by establishing a nationwide fraud alert system. That's what the White House said. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But as usual, it's not the consumers, it's not you and me, whose interests were being protected by this administration. The fact is, in addition to this from the San Francisco Chronicle, in addition to previous votes that gutted state provisions to prevent financial institutions from sharing customers' information with others, the final version of the bill will roll back states' anti-identity theft measures. In other words, this federal standard is actually lower than that many states have, California, for example, and so the states are having to roll back their standards against identity, their laws against identity theft to the new low threshold of this bill. Further, the Financial Times pointed out on December 11th of this year, the administration proposed new regulations that would shield national banks from state laws enacted to protect consumers from predatory lending, end quote. The regulations were criticized by the New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer as preventing the states from prosecuting, quote, nationally chartered financial service companies for charging outsized fees and interest rates to poor consumers who have bad credit, end quote. With regard to veterans, I mean, the list just goes on and on. With regard to veterans, the White House claimed, honoring our commitment to veterans, America owes veterans and those on the front lines of freedom a great debt of gratitude, quote unquote. Well, what's the fact? The fact is the administration is pushing a cut of $1.5 billion in military, housing, and medical facility funding, despite the fact that UPI reports, quote, hundreds of sick and wounded U.S. soldiers, including many who served in the Iraq War, are languishing in hot cement barracks here while they wait sometimes for months to see a doctor. End quote. Fact, 1 million children living in military and veteran families are being denied child tax credit help within President Bush's income tax cut. More than 260,000 of these children have parents on active military duty. That from the Children's Defense Fund. It's breathtaking. It's just absolutely breathtaking. Let's see. Resolution number 10 from John Edwards' 2004 website, Hope for a Holiday Miracle. This is George Bush's Hope for a Holiday Miracle. The way things are going, I need to create 400,000 jobs a month just to make up for the job losses that have happened during my presidency and sustain a recovery. I need some kind of miracle. How about tax cuts for economists? Note to self, read up on Herbert Hoover biographies. Good advice. The White House claimed, quote, President Bush was pleased to sign legislation that resolved the issue of concurrent receipt in a fair and responsible manner. Now, what is that? That means that veterans who are getting retirement pay and who are disabled and are getting disability pay You know, it used to be that you get the pension, and you, if you were disabled, you got a little extra. And this is called concurrent payments. In other words, you're getting both these payments at the same time. Well, the White House did away with that. Bush threatened to veto the bill if it includes concurrent receipt, the 2003 Defense Authorization Bill. No, says George to veterans. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Had to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Yeah. Zebra.
The
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun. Spin me around again.
Iran!
Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Hashtag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I ain't lived forever, but I've lived enough. And I've learned to be gentle, and I've learned to be tough. I found only two things that last till the end. One is your heroes, the other's your friends.
Your and welcome back. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Let's look at some of the international dimensions of the White House claims. For example, at the Madrid Donors Conference, the White House claimed, 73 countries and 20 international organizations joined together and pledged over $30 billion for Iraq. And this was widely reported in the press and everything. Oh, yes, look at this. Isn't this wonderful? The whole world is with us. Yes, they all thought it was a great idea that we have a preemptive war against a country that was not threatening us. Here's the fact. 6 weeks after organizers of an international donors conference in Madrid said that more than $3 billion in grants had been pledged to help Iraq with immediate needs, a new World Bank tally verifies grants of only $685 million for 2004. So they claimed they got $30 billion. Then they claimed that they got $3 billion. And it turns out they got 0.6, less than $1 billion. Six-tenths of $1 billion, $685 million. It's a tough row to hoe, you know, when you defy the entire planet. White House claim our mission has broad support from the international community, including troops from 18 out of 25 current and future NATO countries. Well, that sounds nice. Wow, 18 of the 25 of the current and future NATO countries. We have 160,000 troops in Iraq. Great Britain has, with the next largest force, 9,000. And since President Bush asked for military help in September, not one additional new international soldier has been sent to Iraq. Not one. And so it goes. So what can we do about this? What we can do about it is two things. One, there are so many outrages here that really need to be addressed immediately. That we need to be contacting our elected officials. You know, call your senator, call your congressman, send them an email, send them a letter. Letters are incredibly potent. And number two, look at the field of Democratic candidates and find the ones that you think really can make a difference and support them. Get out there and work for it. It's possible, I think, to change America in this next year. We have to work together. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix.
But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Look
on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Security will be extra tight at this year's New Year's celebrations around the country, with military helicopters patrolling over the Rose Parade, Times Square, and the Las Vegas Strip. As revelers prepare for New Year's Eve, the nation's terrorism alert is at its second highest level, although officials said there were no specific threats against the holiday gatherings and urged people to go ahead with their plans. In Las Vegas, where 300,000 revelers are expected on the Strip, officials announced that armed military helicopters will fly overhead. Jerry Bussell, Nevada Governor Kenny Gwynn's advisor on Homeland Security, said that military helicopters will also be used in New York City, Los Angeles, Washington, and other cities with big outdoor gatherings. George W. Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans, but First Lady Laura Bush came in third among women in the annual poll. For the second year in a row, Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York was the most admired woman. The former First Lady was the first or second choice of 16% in a USA Today CNN Gallup poll. Her memoir, Living History, is a bestseller this year. Last year, 7% chose her. TV host Oprah Winfrey was second this year and in 2002. Laura Bush was also third last year. She placed first in 2001 after the September 11th terrorist attacks. Hundreds of relatives will be getting a free ride to visit soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan at military hospitals around the country. Operation Hero Miles is giving 680 free plane tickets to families and friends of wounded troops. Since November, the program has also been providing free plane tickets home for soldiers on leave from Iraq and Afghanistan using donated frequent flyer miles. The tickets will be distributed through the Fisher House Foundation, a nonprofit organization that opens its 32 homes across the country to military families. More after this.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today won't be around for our children and grandchildren. The Earth's resources are limited. Voluntary family planning improves health while helping slow population growth, and that's good for our planet. Help build a healthy future for us all. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
M&M's, the colorful button-shaped candies, are about to go off color for the first time in 60 years, but it remains to be seen whether the fans love or hate the change. The chocolate-filled, sugar-coated candies will be available in only black and white for the next few months, instead of the usual six colors as part of a promotional campaign. The company plans to bring back the colored candy to the market after the promotion runs its course in a few months. This is Don Waller in New York. For all of us at IE America Network News, Happy New Year.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The free in free markets is not an adjective, it's a verb. We must diligently work to free the market of conniving monopolists who try to lock it down and rule like autocrats. A century ago, robber barons like Rockefeller and Carnegie used their riches to put a chokehold on commerce, buying off governments and media while crushing competitors, workers, and entire communities. The monopolist is a brute. And that's why the populists and finally the Democrats and even trust-busting Republicans like Teddy Roosevelt responded to grassroots demands to free the market using such tools as anti-monopoly laws, labor reforms, and small business protections. But monopoly continues to rear its ugly head. Today, there's a new brute on the block, exerting more power over America's economy than the robber barons could dream of. It is Walmart. Behind the aw shucks, smiley-faced demeanor portrayed in its ads, this giant is now not merely the largest corporation in the world, but the dominating economic power in our country, able to use its brute financial clout to monopolize practically any market it bulls into. Its monopoly exists because, first, it has grabbed a chokehold on the retail supply chain, able to dictate its price to the thousands of manufacturers that put products in its stores, even compelling these companies to lower their wages or to move their manufacturing to China. Second, Walmart doesn't play fair in the local market. When it moves into your community, it can drop its prices and lose money for months without affecting its overall profits, for it has thousands of stores. Your local hardware, grocery, pharmacy, and others can't do that, so they are crushed, not by Walmart's work ethic or efficiency, but by its brute monopoly force. This is Jim Hightower saying, Walmart shrinks our economy, destroys middle-class wages, changes the face of our communities, and erodes America's values. It's time to free the market again.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Our quote for this hour, for the day, really. You know, I haven't gotten to it yet today. I should have. And, in fact, I'm going to use the same one I used yesterday because we only mentioned it once. It's from Frederick Douglass, and it's just so well said. He said, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe. And this is the argument for creating an egalitarian America, an America with a strong and vibrant middle class, where the best welfare program is a good job, and good jobs are abundant, because the nation defines national policy in such a way that it will establish and keep good jobs. What we have right now is a national policy that serves the multinational corporations and the very wealthy and does not serve the middle class. And we could change that very quickly by walking away from the NAFTA and GATT agreements and saying any kind of job that you are outsourcing, even if it's telemarketers in India, that there is going to be a tariff placed on that labor cost to bring it up to the U.S. standard so that there will no longer be an incentive to move jobs outside the United States. And, you know, very straightforward. It's how we did it from 1784 until, well, until beginning with Reagan and then big time Bill Clinton signing NAFTA and GATT. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number, 1-800-825-5937, and Clifton in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Clifton, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi. I thought that one guy mentioning about the mercenaries was sort of interesting. I happened to read one book in my poli-sci class about how in the 1700s and 1800s, what monarchs used to do was rely heavily on mercenaries and privateers in times of war. Does seem like, especially with the trend of enlistments dropping, that mercenaryism might become a new trend.
It already is. It already is. The private armies are huge, and the stated policy of Rumsfeld and the Pentagon is to outsource more and more of what the Pentagon traditionally did. I mean, the Pentagon traditionally fed its own troops, and now we've got a private corporation in there that's doing the same thing and making a profit at it, right? So we keep injecting private corporations. We used to do our own supply. There's this long list of things that in the military now are being done by private corporations. And it's not that they can do it more efficiently or cheaper. In many cases, it's more expensive because the corporation has to pay for the multi-million-dollar salaries for its CEO, and it's got to pay dividends to its stockholders. And, you know, the corporations have all these expenses that government traditionally doesn't have. No, it's being done because these corporations are huge donors, primarily to the Republicans and also to the conservative Democrats.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting because we're moving back away from the sort of monopoly of violence by the state into more of a contractual violence.
Yeah, it's quite startling actually when you look at the stats. There was a very good article written about that in The Nation magazine 2 or 3 months ago, and I don't have it right here, so I don't have the statistics at my fingertips. But the privatization of the United States Army is absolutely shocking when you look at what's going on. And then you look at the quality that we're getting. You know, now they just audited Halliburton and they discovered that there's, you know, the food is bad, that they're serving the troops and blah, 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 you know, on it goes. And this, you know, this just didn't happen when the military was doing it themselves because they were feeding themselves. But now it's a us feeding them thing, you know, and this gets broken up. Clifton, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Oh, happy New Year to you. 1-800-825-5937. Kurt in Seattle, Washington's on the line. Hey, Kurt, welcome to the program.
Hello there, Tom.
Hey.
I hope you don't mind my small, trivial BS of all the stuff going on, but if you turn over to the faux network, it's nothing but Michael Jackson. You turn away from it, come back, and it's Michael Jackson. Yet there's no mention of Herr Gruppenführer.
Herr Gruppenführer, yes, Mr. Arnold.
But, it's confirmed that he has done umpteen things. Michael Jackson has possibly touched someone, and that's all they can talk about. They don't even talk about any of the Democratic presidential candidates, Rush, nobody. It's all Michael Jackson.
Well, Herr Gruppenführer is a Republican. I mean, keep in mind that during the time that Nixon was being, Clinton was being impeached for having sex with Monica Lewinsky, four of his detractors, including Newt Gingrich, it turned out were having affairs with their secretaries or other people close to them at that time. And, you know, so it's, but those are Republicans. So, you know, they got mentioned in the press once or twice, but that was it.
I forgot about that, but yeah. Sorry for the interruption.
Several of them are still serving in Congress. Welcome to the wonderful world of Republican controlled media. And, you know, Kurt, it's the way it is. Hey, happy New Year to you, Kurt.
Yeah, same to you.
And, you know, and hope it's a good one. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. A storm is brewing, says the Center for American Progress, over reports that the White House ignored intelligence that could have prevented 9/11. This, you know, there's so many fuses that have been lit where we're kind of waiting to see if the firecracker is going to blow up in the face of the Bush administration. As CBS Evening News reported on December 17th, for the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11 attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could and should have been prevented. And this is a Republican, former New Jersey Governor Tom Keene. He was appointed by President Bush, and he said, and I quote, "This was not something that had to happen." And he is, quote, "now pointing fingers inside the administration and laying blame," end quote. Keene said, quote, "there are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at that time because they failed. They simply failed," end quote. And, you know, it goes back to, listen to Condoleezza Rice, May 16th of 2002. This was, what, 6 months, 8 months after 9/11. She says, she was on TV, and she says, "I don't think anybody could have predicted that they would try to use an airplane as a missile, a hijacked airplane as a missile." And then the next day, George W. Bush goes on TV and says, "Had I known that the enemy was going to use airplanes to kill on that fateful morning, I would have done everything in my power to protect the American people." Well, now we learn the story is a little different. Soon after these denials, ABC News reported, quote, "White House officials acknowledged that U.S. intelligence officials informed President Bush weeks before the 9/11 attacks that bin Laden's terrorist network might try to hijack American planes," end quote, from ABC News. The president received that briefing around the same time the FBI was receiving information that a large number of Arabs were training at U.S. flight schools. When CBS asked other administration officials about Rice and Bush's denials, they hit a brick wall. And this is here's a quote from CBS. "The usually talkative Attorney General John Ashcroft just stared when reporters asked him about the terror warnings. FBI Chief Robert Mueller also refused to comment," end quote. Others were outraged. Kristen Brettweiser, a 9/11 widow, said, quote, "How is it possible we have a national security advisor coming out and saying we had no idea they could use planes as weapons when the FBI records from 1991 show that this is a possibility," end quote. And it turns out that the threats were apparently quite specific, because John Ashcroft stopped traveling on commercial jets right after George Bush got that briefing on August 6th. Immediately, John Ashcroft stopped traveling on commercial jets and started flying only on private charter jets. Unhijackable, presumably. And then on top of this, the White House has sought at every turn to prevent any kind of an independent investigation. First, they opposed the creation of the commission, the 9/11 commission. Then when there was a loud public outcry, they tried to choke off its funding. They tried to put Henry Kissinger, Mr. Cover-Up, in charge of it. The administration then classified key portions of a bipartisan 9/11 congressional inquiry. Remember, Bob Graham was on that thing. 29 pages cut out or covered up, you know, with black ink. You can't read it. Then the White House dragged its feet in providing details to the commission. It's still doing it. It continues to refuse to hand over key documents. Now the commission, which is going to run out, I mean, its authority to function runs out in a few months, and they're now having to resort to going to court to get these things. 1-800-TALK-YES, last day of the old year, the last day of 2003, 1-800-TALK-YES, and Bob in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You are live and on the air.
Hey, Tom. I really hope that someday that you can read some positive stuff about somebody somewhere and have something to say other than armchair quarterbacking. When you got decisions to make, you got to make them. And all of them aren't bad. Some of them are. And I'm speaking about President Bush. At least he's got the guts to go do things where Mr. Mishmouth that we had in there before didn't have the guts to do it. But
you mean Mr. Mishmouth, Mr. Clinton Mishmouth, who bombed who bombed bin Laden and was 30 minutes away from killing him, and all the Republicans stood up and said, "Oh, he's just wagging the dog. He's just wagging the dog." Is that the guy you're talking about?
Well, you want to take facts, or you want to just take crap? That's all you do.
That's a fact, Bob.
Yeah.
When Bill Clinton went after Osama bin Laden, the Republicans charged that he was trying to divert attention away from Monica Lewinsky.
It's also a fact that he had bin Laden handed to him on a silver platter and wouldn't take him. So anyway, why not?
George Bush had Bin Laden handed to him. The head of the Mullah Omar in Afghanistan offered to give Osama Bin Laden to any country in the world except the United States.
Clinton had him.
He said, we will give him to you.
Why didn't he take him then? And why did Clinton sign NAFTA and GATT and all that crap? You know.
Well, I don't know. I am the first. I will stand in line to criticize Bill Clinton for NAFTA and GATT, but I'm not. Everything that I've read indicates that Bill Clinton was really trying to go after Osama and kept getting hammered by Republicans who wanted to get back to whether or not he had sex with Monica.
That's baloney. That's baloney. You know, one day I listen to you. When Rush's advertisements come on, he takes about 5 minutes because he's got a lot of sponsors. And then I flip over and listen to you, and all I hear is negative, negative, negative. Say something positive one day. Give me a platform or something that you'd like to run on.
Bob, I frequently do. But the reality is, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh when Bill Clinton was president, all you heard was negative, 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 period.
Well,
because the party that is not in power is going to always point the finger at the party in power. I mean, this is one of the sad and ironic things about the Republican propaganda right now is, oh, Democrats don't have anything positive to say. Well, Republicans had nothing positive to say when Bill Clinton was president. This is just, come on, Bob, give me a break. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I was making my way through the wasteland. The road into town passes through. I was changing the radio station with my mind on.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. Buster in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Buster, welcome to the program.
Oh, amazing, Tom. I'm so glad to be on. Oh, wow. I'm going to say, that was amazing, that last guy who called. Really heartbreaking.
Wasn't that fascinating? You know, wasn't that fascinating?
I'm only 18 years old, and I feel like I've got wisdom beyond the years, all the millions of people who are listening to Rush Limbaugh every day. Filling up their brains with so much empty hate that's so misguided. I do not understand. I'm so confused. I have a question for you in regards to corporate America and me as an adult growing up, because I kind of turned to the adults in my life to ask them like what they think, and everyone's kind of burnt out on it and is like, I don't know, you have to just make sacrifices. But I've chosen to take a vegan lifestyle, which I don't eat any meat or any dairy or any eggs or anything like that. Because I feel just like the way farming has become so cruel. That to support it just means basically I can't say anything I want about right-wing madhouse, because it's like supporting them and saying it's all right. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, Dennis Kucinich is a vegan as well.
Yeah. But the thing that I get, though, is that still, if I'm going to listen to your show, I'm going to either turn on my radio in my house and I'm going to pay the power company for that, or I'm going to turn on my battery-operated radio and pay a huge company that has been in battery industry for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And it doesn't stop it if I'm – does it make – like, how do you feel in your life? Do you take steps with every corporation that you have to interact with to rely on? Because our country really is built upon support by corporations, by our market, by everything. Like, steps with it?
This is the problem that any person of conscience who has bothered to educate themselves about the consequences of our living on this planet has, and that is that – you know, the reality is that every step you take is having an influence in the world, and I've in my old age here have just reached the point where I acknowledge that there are some compromises that I have to make in order to be functional and effective, I fly on jet airplanes, I drive a car. It's a hybrid car, but it's a car. It's consuming hydrocarbons. I live in a house that's heated with gas, natural gas, and you know we've over the years tried different ways of living that are a lot lighter on the planet, and I salute people who do that, and we've Louise and I have considerably downscaled our lives over the years. There is just a point where you have to say, okay, what's the best that I can do in terms of the contributions that you can make, you know, the activism that you're going to participate in, the changes that you're going to make.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I had to sneeze there.
Yeah. No.
What level of discomfort are you willing to accept in order to do that? I mean, you know, there may be times, you know, you simply have to drive in a car, and I don't think that we should be flogging ourselves for it. I think that Americans who simply make relatively small incremental changes, like driving a small car instead of an SUV, eating less flesh foods and things like that, are having a positive impact. You know, it's a start.
Well, I don't even understand why people don't want what's right and what's best and what's not evil. What is the deal?
Well,
thank you to everyone.
I think most people just don't know, Buster. I think most people just don't know. You know, that's.
I know, and it's so terrible.
And you got to cut them some slack.
Yeah, I know. What everyone needs to do at the Rush Limbaugh camp is realize that everyone wants to be on the same team, and it's not some evil fight. We just want what's best for absolutely everybody, and that there is enough to go around. What is this fear? It feels like there's no hope, because I look at the generation that came before me, and all this promise of all this terrible, terrible, awful violence has been seen, and the idea that something needs to give and something needs to change, and then, everybody goes up, and then for the most part, everybody just does the same thing, but on the scale that it's so much more worse, and globally so much more terrible. Changes that are taking place and the regulations, what? Outrageous that no one is...
I know, Buster. I'm outraged along with you. And we got to take a break. But, Buster, thanks for the call. I do appreciate your calling in and sharing your concern with us. And really, there's an issue here that has to do with the difference in worldview between a conservative worldview and a liberal one. We'll get into that right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Hi, this is Mike Malloy.
And this is Kathy Bay.
And on behalf of everyone here at IE America Radio, we want to wish you a happy holiday season.
And a peaceful new year.
It's almost 2004. Do you know where your energy comes from? I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Randy Udall wants Americans to wake up and think about their energy future. Udall directs the nonprofit Community Office for Resource Efficiency in Aspen, Colorado. He says people in the United States are generally ignorant about energy.
Well, it's fascinating to me that Americans use more energy than anyone that's ever lived on the planet, and yet, by and large, the average guy in the street knows nothing about energy.
Udall says maybe it's been too easy for us. We flip a switch and the power comes on.
The American energy system is a miracle, one of those miracles that we take way too much for granted. On the other hand, about two-thirds of all the oil that will ever be produced in the United States has already been used. And our study suggests that half the natural gas, which is the fuel that keeps most of the Midwest warm in the winter, we think that half of the nation's natural gas has also been consumed. So it's time to get real about energy efficiency and renewable energy in the United States. And unfortunately, Congress seems to still be on a holiday from reality when it comes to energy issues.
Udall looks at Texas as a symbol of America's energy troubles. The state once had more oil than all but 10 countries in the world.
And Texas now needs to import $6 billion worth of oil each year to run Texas. In a rational country, this would be a blinking red light. But in the U.S., we just kind of blow past this without paying any attention and continue down the road.
Udall says we need to invest heavily in energy efficiency and renewable sources, such as wind and solar. And he says people should find out where their energy comes from and what the future holds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Dan Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number. And Tom in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Tom. What's up?
Good afternoon. First off, I wanted to say Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
And I hope that 2004, that in at the end of 2004, our country ends up in the hands of a more sensible crowd than 2003 is going to end up.
I agree.
And the second thing is I wanted to apologize to you on behalf of all sensible-thinking, even-handed, non-Neanderthal people from North Carolina. On behalf of Bob, who tried to make you listen to his diatribe.
Well, Tom, that's very kind of you. The reality is I really like it when people like Bob call, because, number one, it gives me it stirs things up. It makes for interesting radio. But even more important, I think, it gives people who are listening an opportunity to occasionally catch a role model, as it were, for how to discuss some of these topics with, you know, their friends and coworkers, how to win the water cooler wars. And I appreciate Bob calling. I wish more conservatives would call this show.
Well, it was fun listening to him.
Yeah.
And
it's good theater.
To their side.
Yeah, but that's very kind of you, Tom. What do you think is going to be the biggest issue in 2004? What do you think is going to spin the elections?
I think it's still going to be the war.
Yeah.
Because although I'm sure that Bush wants to be out by August, I don't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I hate that. I think it's terrible for our country.
Yeah.
But I just, I think we're in there, and we're in there for several more years.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Happy New Year's to you. And it's going to be an interesting year. I have a feeling, I have a suspicion that the economy is going to play a much larger role than anyone realizes, and that it probably isn't even going to be talked about that much. But that, when people get to pulling the lever on the voting machines, there are a lot of people who are really in pain in America right now, economic pain. And all kinds of physical pain as a consequence of not having health care. And now this phony Medicaid bill, with the AARP, William Novelli, whose ad agency did the Harry and Louise ads that attacked Bill and Hillary Clinton when they were trying to reform our health care system. And health care, I think, is going to be a huge issue. We'll see. Time will tell. 1-800-TALK-YES. Enrique in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Enrique, how are you?
Oh, pretty good news, Tom.
I am alive and kicking. Can't complain.
I was off today, so I was able to give a call in. There's a lot of days that, I'm working and listening and not able to call in. But, especially after Bob called, I thought, I've got to call and, just sort of talk about these people that think that, everything that we're saying on these shows is a conspiracy theory. And I don't think it really is. When you look at that project for the New American Century, and now if you go to judicialwatch.org, they have a bunch of stuff on the energy task force that Cheney had, and basically I guess they brought up some maps of Iraq and divvied up everything back in March of 2001.
Enrique, let me just inform our listeners, particularly those new listeners. Back in early 2001, before 9/11, Dick Cheney had his secret energy policy meetings with Ken Lay and other unknown energy industry executives. Nobody from any of the conservation organizations, nobody from any of the industries that have to do with renewable energy resources were invited, and no elected representatives were there. And they hatched the energy policy of the United States, which became this energy bill that was so gross and disgusting to even Republicans that it couldn't make its way through the Republican-controlled Senate. And in the process of doing this, these guys, this was before 9/11, these guys had maps drawn up of Iraq and the United Arab Emirates listing where the oil fields were in Iraq, and they came, and there was a list of companies in countries that would be interested in buying the oil from each one of these different oil fields. There's over 100 oil fields in Iraq. And this document was pulled out by a lawsuit by Larry Klayman, the head of Judicial Watch, against Dick Cheney. And, of course, there's much more to come because that lawsuit is probably now going to go before the Supreme Court. Pardon me for interrupting you, but just so people knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, well, you gave a really good summary of it. And the other thing that I was sort of calling about is, you know, I'm not a supporter of John Dean, but, you know, he is an interesting candidate.
You mean Howard Dean?
Or Howard Dean. Oh, John Dean's the President Nixon's guy that wrote all those other books. But,
right.
You know, the press has really been bashing him on his foreign policy speech where he said, now, you know, since we've caught Saddam, we're not any safer than we were before he was out there. And, you know, everyone said, you know, well, this shows how inexperienced he is in foreign policy and what a stupid statement to make. And, you know, Bill O'Reilly had it. Sean Hannity had it. Rush was talking about it.
And it turns out he was right. Howard Dean was right.
Yeah. Well, you know what it
did? Tom Ridge agreed a week later.
Yeah. It got, you know, my interest up because I thought, well, I want to see the context and, you know, of the speech that he said this in. So, you know, I went to his website, and it's a masterful speech, and you know, it really has me suspicious about why they're attacking him so much.
Yeah, well, they're attacking him because he is the only he's the only Democrat who actually has a reasonably good chance. I mean, I would toss Dennis Kucinich in here, but it really looks like he doesn't have a chance in this, which is really unfortunate. But nonetheless, that Howard Dean is the only Democrat who really has a shot at getting the Democratic nomination, who, number one, is willing to take on George Bush head on and point out his lies and fabrications and distortions and his policies, regardless of what their motivation may be, that are destroying America, number one. And number two, who isn't funded by huge corporations and isn't willing to dance to the tune of big corporations. And that number two part has got the corporate media. I mean, you keep in mind, most of the media that we watch is owned by multi-billion-dollar multinational corporations that have a lot at stake. If they could lose a lot. I mean, Michael Powell and George Bush have been so nice to these guys. Look at Rupert Murdoch just got this deal now with DirecTV. And it's just incredible. So I think that's the bottom line, Enrique. I'm pretty sure that would be my guess about where it's at. And thank you for your call. I appreciate very much your calling in and sharing with us. We've still got a couple more calls here. Brad in California is on the line. Hey, Brad, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm alive and well. What's up, Brad?
Well, I think conservative caller had a point we should look at the positive things that are occurring as well.
Yeah.
You know, none of them are coming from the Bush administration, of course. I mean, I essentially view them as a criminal organization, as the Mariani case asserts.
Mm-hmm.
But as to some of the things to look at that they're going great are Lula in Brazil, pretty much changing the shape of globalization, or at least trying to, putting up some sort of resistance. Effectively, I mean, he's got the whole G20 plus.
There's a lot of good stuff going on, and there's actually, I mean, we have this regular session in this show called "Caught You Doing Something Right."
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's somebody who listens to me during the commercials of Rush's program and then wants to critique the show isn't a real credible source. You know, it's just that's the bottom line. But I think it's important. It's in order to treat a disease, you have to identify the disease. And I think it's important for there to be somebody out there who is speaking truth about what's going on with this administration. And you know, if that's me, that's me. And if that sounds negative, so be it. But the, you know, that has to be said. At the same time, I think it's important that we talk about what can be done, as I talked about in the last hour, about how, you know, if we were to pull out of NAFTA and GATT and reimpose rational tariffs and a rational trade policy that protects our workers in this country, we could bring back millions of jobs, probably as many, we could probably generate as many as 5 to 7 million jobs in the United States within a year or two if we simply, you know, went back to the same kinds of policies, tax policies, international tax and trade policies that we had from 1784 to 1996.
I think that you're definitely doing a great job at, you know, pointing to some of the things that can be done to fix the situation. Whereas, you know, other left sources may just complain. You know, I think that you know, your book,
Unequal Protection, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight.
Exactly. Yeah. Is a textbook for, you know, bringing about some of the changes that will, again, have democracy work in the U.S. as it has in South America.
Yeah, democracy is a very powerful force. Brad, and thank you for the call, by the way. I appreciate your calling. Democracy is an irresistibly powerful force. I have a book coming out on July 4th of 2004 of this coming year from Random House called A Return to Democracy, Reviving Jefferson's Dream. And it's about how democracy is wired into our genes. Democracy is a force against war and against famine. And democracy is what we need to turn to. And in fact, in the United States, we are turning away from democracy and toward corporatism, which is a variation on ancient feudalism. It's a very dangerous and destructive thing. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Bobby is on the line. Bobby in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I believe. Hey, Bobby.
Yes, thank you, Tom. I have a few points. I didn't finish a point the other day when I called you about the writer of the NAFTA treaty or whatever it is. It was our chubby governor, Bill Richardson, his mother being Spanish royalty, but I neglected to mention that his father was a wealthy gringo who brought Enron into Mexico. That's a moot point now because, you know, the corporate profiteering is the bottom line for these organizations that are coming up. And I also wanted to ask you whether or not you thought that conservative and liberal weren't too simplistic labels for the chaos the world is in now.
I
think it's reactionary and revolutionary, which, you know, I don't think these so-called cons or conservatives are. I mean, being a conservative is something we all have. I'm a part of me. I'm as far left as you can go. My great-grandmother's name was Marx. But I know that I am conservative on some points, economic points. I think there should be a balance in an economy between socialism and true capitalism, which we really have not anywhere in this country, or very little of it anyway, small businesses that can survive.
Right. Well, Adam Smith pointed out that capitalism must be regulated. It without the government government provides for an opportunity for capitalism by providing a legal system that companies can use, by providing currency, by providing a banking system, and so on, and by providing an educated workforce. I mean, there's all these things that government, that we pay with our tax dollars, that make the existence of business possible. And in exchange for that, as Adam Smith pointed out, we have the not just the right but the obligation to say, if you're going to conduct business in our country, here are the rules by which you conduct business. You cannot, for example, do what Walmart is doing and go into communities and just devastate their local communities,
well,
and lowballing prices and things like that.
Corporate,
that's monopoly.
But don't you think that certain basic staples like health care, education, energy has to be taken out of the private sector in order to be egalitarian in the slightest sense?
Absolutely,
and businesses, profit making, but there has to be a balance, which I think they are trying now in Cuba, and of course in Russia has gone to the other extreme. But I think that that certain things have to be socialized. What do you think?
Well,
first of all,
I'm not willing to use...
How can healthcare be improved when the profits are in the illness?
Sure, yeah. I'm not willing to use Cuba as a model for anything because Cuba is a dictatorship. And yes, I know that they've got progressive medical policies, but they also put people in jail who do what I'm doing for a living right now. If you speak out, bingo, you're gone. So
I
have a problem with that.
That's entirely true. You know, Karl Marx never advocated totalitarianism or a despot.
No, and Marxism has never been tried outside of kibbutz.
Didn't Jefferson get most of his ideas from Rousseau? And Rousseau, Marx also was a lot very similar to Rousseau. Egalitarian.
Yeah, egalitarian sounds good, Bobby. I'm in favor of democracy. That for me is what it boils down to. And when Marx said that the state should control the means of production and distribution, which is the bottom line of Marxism, and of communism as Marx defined it, I think that we've demonstrated that in a small community, in a community of fewer than 200 people or fewer than 150 people, that works. It works in tribes. Where everybody collectively owns everything. It works on the kibbutz in Israel. It works in small communes. But when you get more than 150 people, where it's impossible for everybody to know everybody and for the social pressures of small community to be extant, then it doesn't work any longer. And so, I think that, Marx identified something that works in a tribe, but doesn't work in a nation state. On the other hand, in a democracy as envisioned by Jefferson and Madison and the other founders, you have the doing of business conducted in a way that does, that is regulated in a way that protects the public good. And then we have to define what the commons are. I'll give you a little bit on that when we come back. And Michael in Santa Fe, hold on, we'll pick up your call on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
The Mike Mullet Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I'd grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful.
Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Mullet Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys. Imagine if we really tried. Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Telling the truth, the multinational corporations don't want you to know. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I want to close the show in just a second. I'm going to pick up Michael's call. But first, I want to say a very special thanks to Stephanie Stryker, who came in today with a sore throat and a cold and has been running the board and answering the phones. And I know that it's been hurting your throat, Stephanie, and I thank you so much for being with us today and making this show possible. Thanks also to Louise Hartman, who produced the show, to Brad Walrod in New York, who edits our music, to the folks in our chat room who showed up and hung out with us, and to all of the folks who have called and kept this program sparkling. We've had some great callers, and so on that note, let's go to Michael in Santa Fe. Hey, Michael, welcome to the program.
Happy New Year, Tom.
Happy New Year to you, too.
I would just like to tip my hat to an earlier caller, Buster. And he was the one that mentioned that he, you know, is not eating flesh, and you know, in other words, he's making some consumer sacrifices.
Well, let me just say, Michael, having been a vegetarian for almost 40 years now, it's not a sacrifice. But
right,
but
exactly.
He is making lifestyle changes. I mean, he's doing good stuff, and I agree with you. I tip my hat to him. There's a level of idealism there in our young people that's wonderful.
I would like to hear more on your program about how being a consumer contributes to a lot of the problems that we're dealing with.
Yeah, you know, the problem with that, Michael, and I write about that in my book, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, but the problem is that then you get these folks who say, Well, let's just vote with our dollars. You know, it's we can change the world. We can change democracy by voting with our dollars. And I'm all in favor of things like, you know, not eating grapes back when Cesar Chavez was striking, you know, the United Farm Workers, and not patronizing Walmart, for example, when the UFCW is striking against them, or whichever, you know, however it's working. But we can't vote with our dollars. You vote at the ballot box. And the whole idea of voting with your dollars is suggest that those people with the most dollars get the most votes. And so I don't want to, we want to educate consumers, but we don't want to vilify them. That's the bottom line. But thanks, Michael, for raising that point. It is a good one and an important one, and one that we do need to share the word on. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back live on Friday. And tomorrow we'll have a repeat program from last week. I think you'll enjoy it. And we'll see you on Friday. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fun tila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fun tila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies.